Well, once again, I would like to, thank you, sir. Amen. I think I'm going to take this guy with me everywhere I go. Well, once again, thank you for the opportunity, of course, to Pastor Nipshiel for allowing me to come. And it's really our joy and gladness and privilege to be able to represent you and the mission field as we preach the gospel. I want you to turn your Bibles in the book of Acts, chapter 13. We're going to read in verse 2 down to verse 5. The title of my message tonight is The Work That God Called Me to Do. The Work That God Called Me to Do. In Acts chapter 13, and I will start in verse 2, the Bible says this: As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God and the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. I'd like to speak to you tonight in regard to the work that God chose Paul and Barnabas to do. The work that God chose Saul in that time and Barnabas to do. The question I'd like for you to focus on tonight is, what kind of work was it that God chose them to do? The passage said, as we just read, as Paul and Barnabas were, if you would, there in Antioch, serving God, and if you would, under the leadership of the church there in Antioch, the Holy Ghost of God spoke to the leadership of that church in regard to the fact that God had a job for Saul and Barnabas to do. And so the Holy Ghost asked that those men will be separated and put aside and sent out to go and do the work that God wanted them to do. And I love what the leadership of that church did. They got together and they fasted and they prayed. And then they released, if you would, those two men to go do the work that God asked them to do. The question is, what kind of work was it? And God wanted them to do something, but we must understand what it was. Let's pray, and then after that, we will get into the message tonight. Father, once again, we want to say thank you for the opportunity and the privilege, Lord, to be able to open the word of God among, Father, a body of believers. And Lord, we ask and pray the power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our mind and our hearts and our thinking. And Lord, help us to understand the scripture a little bit more tonight. And we will glorify, Father God of heaven, your name for it. And thank you for, once again, the opportunity to come. In Christ's name, amen. The work that the Holy Ghost chose Paul and Barnabas to do was a spiritual work. The work of teaching and preaching the word of God. I would like to read there in verse 5 and the same chapter 13 of the book of Acts. The Bible says, And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to the minister. The time that they preached the word of God was after they were sent from the church of Antioch. It was after they had already now been out there to accomplish the work that, if you would, God called them to do. And as we see in the journey there in this particular synagogue, the Bible says they stood and they preached the word of God. Why did they preach the word of God? It was because that's what God has sent them to do. That means when a man stands preaching the word of God, he's actually walking. It is something in our day and age that we do not sometimes want to accept. Sometimes we want to say, that a preacher simply standing behind the pulpit teaching the word of God to us is not working. But in the scripture, at that time and day and age, it was a work, the work, spiritual work of God that they were doing. In verse 15 in the same chapter, I will read again for you. The Bible says, "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue are said unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Now, as Paul and Barnabas on their journey, they begin to, if you would, target places that the new Jewish, if you would, people dwell or live in. And the entire reason they went to those places, they wanted to do one thing, that was preaching the word of God. That's the reason they were called, that's the reason they were sent out, and that's the work they were sent to do. In this particular, if you would, a synagogue and village or city, the Bible says when they got, if you would, to that place, Paul, as his manner was, he would find where the synagogue was, and then he would go into it looking for the opportunity to be able to stand and preach the word of God. To his surprise, after this, if you would, priest here in this passage, read, if you would, the scriptures to the people, he came to Paul and Barnabas says, "Do you guys have anything to say?" "You bet I do," Paul said. "This is what I'm looking for." And if you would, in that verse, and I will read for you in 39 and 38, look at what in verse 38 and 39, what the Bible says. Paul stood, he said, as he is preaching to them, I'm skipping a lot of scripture here. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Now, Paul is making the conclusion of what he's been telling them. After he has been arguing, if you would, presenting his case before the Jewish people, after he tried to, if you would, persuade them to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is actually the Son of God, the Messiah, the only one who can give them forgiveness for their sins. Now he's concluding it, he's wrapping it up. He's telling them, look, he said, the only way you can find forgiveness is to come and put your faith, he said, in the Son of God. What was Paul doing, folks? He was working. He was doing a work, a spiritual work, the work of teaching and preaching, the work that God chose him, if you would, to do among, if you would, the Jews and also the Gentiles. In verse 39, the Bible says, "And by him all that believed are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." He's telling them, look, guys, you want to find justification, which means you have been declared, the Bible says, to be righteous. You've been declared to be just in the sight of God. No more sins, no more condemnation. The only way you can find such, if you would, blessings is to come and put your faith in whom? Christ Jesus. Not the law of Moses. He argued, he tried to help them to come to that conclusion. Why? This is what God sent him out to do. In verse 44, the Bible says, in the same, if you would, place where he was, as his manner was, and Paul would first go to the Jewish people, he would, if he would, do the work that God sent him to do, which was preaching the message unto them. In this particular, if you would, town after Paul preached, the Bible says, look what happened in verse 44. "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together." For what purpose? To hear the word of God. What is that saying? There's people out there that hungry, that is thirsty for one thing. They want to hear some good teaching and some good preaching. You see, to us here in the state, it doesn't make sense, but as I get to the further in my message, you will see what I'm talking about. Those Jewish people and those Gentiles, they were sick and tired of the rabbis standing, simply, if you would, teaching them dead, cold, orthodox teaching. And Paul and Barnabas came to their town with a new message of salvation. And their message had conviction. It had life. It had joy. It had hope into it. And when the Gentiles heard about it, they themselves came. Why? Because they're begging Paul and Barnabas, please teach us too. Don't just teach, if you would, the Jewish people. We want to also hear what you have to say. You see, that which the scripture teaches, I believe in, is in Romans chapter 10. I'm getting ahead, if you would, of myself. Let's go back to the book of Acts before we get to Romans chapter 10. And this, in chapter 14, verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Oh, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And they abode long time with the disciples." The next question I ask tonight is this, if you would, what happened among the Gentiles while Paul and Barnabas was busy working among them? What happened? The Bible says the thing that happened is while they were busy working, God did something amazing. God opened the door of faith so that the Gentiles can come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because two men were willing to work. The song we love to sing that says, in our church's fundamental belief is, we say, you know, we'll work till Jesus come. Another song says, work for the night is, if you would, coming. Those two men, they were busy working among the Gentiles. And because they were working, God says, I can use their work as a tool to open the door of faith among those people. And then many came to believe in Jesus Christ. Because two men were willing to do what? Work. A spiritual work. And then we must consider, I wonder what would happen had not Paul and Barnabas willing to obey God to go among the Gentiles to walk among them. What would happen is that this blessed door of faith would not have been open. It would have remained, if you would, closed. Why? Because, listen, folks, the entire time that those synagogues were out there among the Jewish people teaching them the word of God, listen now, those teachings had no power of God. It had no truth. It had no light. Those teachings would never open the heart of those people to come to believe in Christ. It took two men from Antioch whom God chose to go in with the understanding of the scripture, with the power of the Holy Ghost, to go to those people to preach the word of God. And as they preached, they opened their eyes, they opened their understanding. Conviction was brought in. They came to put their faith in Christ Jesus. What the Bible says in the book of Romans is true, therefore. I will read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 and 14. You know what the Apostle Paul says is it is the truth. And that if you would text, let me read in verse 14. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him, and if you would, whom they have not heard? The question is, if a man never heard of a living God who loves, if you would, us, if you would, who loves sinners, if a man never heard that there is truthfully a Father who is willing to forgive us, to receive us for our, if you from our sins, how will they ever call on him to ask him to save them? Yeah. Somebody must be willing to go and work. What meant to stand up, if you would, and preach, if you would, the word of God? May I jump ahead of myself? I would like to say for those of you who call, if you who do not call the preaching of the gospel work, I would like for you to try to do it. And you come to tell me that it is not work. When you walk down that street in that sun, you are cooking and you are sweating, and tell me it's not work. When you meet people out there and you try to help them understand the scripture in some stupid religion already bound them, and you're trying to argue, you try to, if you will, persuade them, you try to use every scripture you can. I mean, tell me that it's not work. And then you come and tell me, those of you who say it's not work, sitting behind the pulpit to teach, as I spent 5 to 6 hours to prepare a message and spend time on my knees and my face to get the power of God and come to stand behind the pulpit and then into preaching, you try to tell me that it's not work. Yeah. It is work. Yeah. A different style of work than you're used to, but it is work, spiritual work. Man, how many times I've seen in Haiti teaching and preaching those people? As I'm preaching and teaching, I feel like 350 people has been plugged into me, sucking the life out of me. When I'm finished, I say, man, I'm weary. I feel like I'm tired. Because I've been walking. It is work. And so Paul asks in the chapter 10 of the book of Romans, he said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now shall they believe, he said, in him of whom they have not heard. Now shall they hear, he said, without a preacher. God called those two men because why? He wanted the Gentiles among, if you would, the nation to hear of the message of the gospel. And so he sent two men out to do, if you would, one thing. That is, he wanted them to go out, if you would, and work. Let's leave the apostles alone for a while. I'd like to take you to the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of John, chapter 9. Let's see what Jesus said himself. As we understand, he was sent from heaven, if you would, from God to the earth to work. In chapter 9, in the book of John, in verse 4, this is what the Bible said. And let's begin in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, which it is today. The night cometh, he said, when no man, if you would, can work. May I ask you a question tonight? What kind of work was it that Jesus came to do? Listen to me. It was not the work of feeding the poor, even though he fed the poor. It was not the work of building church building, even though if there was the necessity for it in those days, he would have done it. It was not the work of healing the blind, even though he, if he would, healed the blind. If you read throughout the scripture and the life of Jesus Christ and his ministry upon the earth, one thing he did day after day, it was teaching, it was the preaching, it was, if you would, opening the eyes of the people so they may understand the work, they may understand the power, they may understand the salvation that God sent him to bring unto them. It was the work of preaching and teaching. Work, he said, is why my Father, if he would set me to do. I love what the Bible said. As Jesus began to teach and preach in his ministry, his fame began to spread, and people began to thirst and hunger. They wanted to hear the Son of God teach. No matter where he was, they would walk miles. They would walk days to go and find where he is in the world. They wanted to hear him what? Teach and preach what? That's the work God sent him to do. Work. The preaching and the teaching and the word of God. By the way, may I say to you, I'm going to jump ahead of myself a little bit. I find that here in the U.S., now that we don't believe that teaching and preaching can build churches, we come to the conclusion in America, we believe it is the program, it is the nice building, it is the carpet, it is the pew. May I say to you tonight, go back to the scripture and find out what was it that built the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the apostles. It was teaching and preaching. It was the work that God sent him to do. May I encourage you not to get away from that? I don't mind you coming to enjoy the building. If the building is here for the purpose of teaching and preaching, don't you, if you would, tie the preacher, put a muzzle in his mouth from teaching the word of God. My brothers and sisters, if the preacher gets too cold, you should come to him and say, preacher, let us have it. Preach the word. It's been a while since we hear you. We hear you to lose on us. Why? Because we understand it is the teaching, the preaching of God's word that changes life, that changes heart, that saves the soul. Not the pew, not the building, but the work of God. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get that excited. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Now I've been busy in the mission field within the last 5 years working. I'm sorry to say that the work that I've been doing is not necessarily speaking, building a building. Now I remember one time we ran into trouble I did. I was arrested. What a privilege. And then these guys who arrested me, you know, they were the city officials in our town, and they've seen what I've been doing. Every summer we have a campaign. We got 4 buses, fill them up with 120 people, send them out in different villages. They run out passing tracks and joining women's. I mean, you know, I killed an entire cow in the summertime for these people to eat. I mean, they love it. I mean, you know, if you ever kill a cow in Haiti, nothing goes to waste. They eat the intestine. They eat the horn. They eat the legs. I mean, the only thing that goes to waste is just the fur and the moon. Everything is eaten. I mean, nothing goes to waste. I mean, they love it. And so these guys, I mean, they can tell I got money. They've been trying to tell me, man, you know, give us some of that little money. And outside, I said, I'm sorry, I'm a preacher. I can't do that. I'm here to preach. And the only money I got is to support what I'm doing. And so one day they arrested me. And so they threw me in the jail. And I remember, as I went, if you would, inside that little jail, and my wife called the U.S. Embassy and told them about what they were doing to me. I'm a U.S. citizen, and those guys didn't know that. They got shot. They thought I was just a regular Haitian. They said, they couldn't touch me. And then, you know, they pulled my wife to the side. The judge says, Madam Bismay, Mrs. Bismay, if you give me $5,000, I'll let your husband go tonight. But I told my wife, I said, don't give them any money. Because if you give them money today, you got to give them money tomorrow. If you give them money tomorrow, you got to give them money the next day. I said, I will never have money in my pocket anymore. So don't do it. You know? And so she listened to me. She didn't do it. And so she told that judge that asked the money, and she said, Mr. Judge, would you get closer to my face? The judge did. My wife said, well, my husband would rot in jail before I give you $5,000. He didn't like that. Man, he got mad, he signed the paper and put me in jail. But I remember the U.S. consulate embassy had the men in our town who represent them. And they sent this man to, if you would, the jail to make sure that I was fine. And as this man come to the jail, he said, I don't understand. What are you guys doing here in this town? He's an American like we are. He is a new evangelical. He says, where is your work? Where is your land? Where is your building? Oh, man, we're drawing our face and our, if you would, I mean, I was excited. I said, well, Mr. Terry, we don't have any building. Because the work we came to do was not to build buildings. But I can tell you about Junior who got saved, who is now driving a bus, by the way, who just now graduated Bible College in Florida. He's going to go back to Haiti, if you were to plant another church. I can tell you about Jidne, whom I met, who was lost on her way to hell. Look at her life and how much changes she has made. We begin to tell him stories after stories about people whose lives God began to change. And this man stood there and then look at me. His face turned red. He couldn't believe it. I said, look, we did not come here to do the work of building or if you would learn or if you materialistic things. The work we came to do is the work of teaching and preaching in the lives of the people. And I think of, as we've been busy there in the mission field working, I remember a man in the Dominican Republic. His name is Rene. This lady came from Haiti, and she began to come to our church. Her name was Cecilan. As I mentioned earlier, most of them don't not married. In fact, this lady got to the Dominican Republic, and 1 week after, she had a boyfriend, and they moved in. A week after they met, hello, my name is Biz. How are you? Let's move in together. That's how they do it. But it's amazing. She began to come to church. As I said, I began to let them have it. I don't mind you living as you want to live, as long as you don't keep me from preaching. Do what you want, man. That's fine. But when Sunday morning, Sunday night, come on, brother, don't mess with me. Yeah. We're going to fight. You know, I was called to preach. That's my work. Let me walk, man. Don't keep me from walking. But, you know, Cecilia, now remember, She began to feel convicted living with this man who is a heathen, not saved. And so she asked me, please, Pastor, would you come and at least try to give him the gospel? And I did. I went. Found out this guy was a drunk. Everybody knew him. Bad reputation. He's always filthy and dirty. I mean, the guy is just messed up. But I was sitting there giving the gospel. He got saved. Oh, man. I wish I could show you a picture with this man with a tie under his neck and a Bible. And the reputation of this man went in the area. He's a changed man. What was it that changed him? The word of God. Because somebody was willing to go and what and walk and preach and teach. It is the word that changed the heart, that changed the mind, that changed the spirit. As I said, I don't mind you do what you want to do as long as you give me the liberty to preach. Because that's what I'm called to do. And so, I can tell you stories after stories. I will tell you one more. I remember in Haiti when we began our church. And so, as I said earlier, that was a little Bible study. And this young man, I saw him come, entered the Bible study. He came and said, way in the back. I mean, you know, you can tell the guy looks like a goofball. His pants is underneath his stinking chest. And then, his pants is, you know, a little bit like, you know, they're like, too high above his shoes. And then he sat in the back. And then after the Bible study, I went and said, hey, my friend, how are you? What's your name? My name is Wilton. I said, really? I said, well, you live here in this area? No, I'm going to. I'm not here to stay. I said, well, where are you going? I'm going back to the country where I came from. I said, well, are you going to be here for a couple of days? Can I go by and visit you? He said, yeah, I'll be fine. And I remember going to his house and sat and gave the gospel to him. He affirmed he already accepted it back in the country where he came from. There's a good, if you would find a member of church back in that area. But I'm sitting there. I said, man, why are you going to the country for, man? We have a tremendous church starting here. And they say, why don't you stay? God could have a plan for you. No, I ain't staying. I mean, so my assistant went by and talked to him. Did you know, after the preaching and teaching, this guy's life got changed. He got married. And today, he is the deacon in our church. The backbone of the church. I mean, this guy runs everything. He does the finance. He does the camp. He does everything. All I got to do is say, all right, wait till I'm sending the money. Take your business. Let me know what's happening. All right, Pastor. But that's the same guy 7 years ago looks like a goofball. What happened? The word of God changed his life. That's the same guy who says, man, I've heard you teach. He said, words. I've heard you teach. If you would doctrine or biblical, he said, if you would instruction, I have never heard, he said, in my life. And then if you would stand to preach and teach the word of God, it's obvious something is different about the teaching, the preaching of that man. What is it? The anointing of God's spirit. What is it? The call of God. What? Because the boldness was standing to do the work of God. May I take you on a trip to Haiti if you're not chicken? Yeah, I found out a lot of people in the city, they're too chicken to take a mission trip. You know, I call myself, I used to be a black chicken. But I ain't no chicken anymore. I got over my fears a long time ago. But you're white chicken. Because you haven't gotten over your fears yet. Because nobody can get you to get in an airplane to go visit the mission field. You think you're going to die? No, you're not going to die. You'll be all right. Come and visit, man. Go to Mexico, you know. Not to, what do you call a vacation place in Mexico? Cancun. I ain't sending you to Cancun. You're going to visit the mission field to see what the missionaries do. How they live, how they preach, how they teach. To see people that has nothing. And the love of God fill their soul in the church. To see, listen to me, how good you have it in the USA of America. I promise you, you take a mission trip, when you come back, you never complain in your life. Because you have it too good, man. The mashed potato, the gravy, the chicken, the deer, the steak, fishing. Man, you can keep on going. You have it good. But you don't know because you never actually see people that don't have it as you have it. Take a mission trip. So anyhow, go back to the message. We've been busy working as God called us to work. And I cannot wait for me to go back to the mission field so I may continue the work that God called me to do. You know, we got to the Dominican Republic, and so we started the Living Baptist Church of Pilavia and Bani. And the Haitian people in the Dominican Republic blew my mind. In Haiti, at least I had some, you know, high school students that were in school. At least I had some people that had a little bit of decency in their lives. I had a platform on which to begin to work. But when I got to the Dominican Republic, these people don't know how to read at all. They don't know their ABCs. They don't know their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5s. It's messed up. And then as I began this, if you would, church idea, it was impossible for me to teach and preach. Because when the adults and the children sit together, you could not tell which was the kids, which one was the adults. One day I was preaching, and a grandma jumped from this side of the auditorium to jump on the other side to correct her grandson, and literally speaking, destroy the entire service. Shut your mouth, the pastor is preaching. I will let you have it when you get home. Psh, you little knucklehead, shut up. And then she walked back to her spot, and then she sat down. All right, pastor, I'm finished. Oh, I said, you are. I said, my soul, what in the world is this? And so one day I'm preaching, and man, I succeeded to keep them calm, no chaos, in the invitation camp. And I said, if you'd like to accept Christ Jesus, raise your hand or stand up. I know I succeed. And this dude stood up, and he began to talk. I said, he destroyed the entire invitation. I was like, what in the world is this? And then I told my wife, I said, well, beloved, that's my beloved. I said, beloved, this is not going to work. I said, we got to separate the children from the adults. I'm going to give you all the children. That's the headache right there, you know. And I said, I'm going to give all the adults. I said, they are used from now on. You teach them. And then I know you can do it, Miss G.I. Jane. God bless you. You know, she took those little kids, shy, introverted, undisciplined. They'd never been to school. In fact, when you sit them down on the pew on the chair, they stood on the top of it. Messed up stuff. It's like wild horses. You got to break them. Wild, you know, donkeys. They have never been taught. So I wanted to see what's going to happen. You know, this is interesting, you know. So my wife got a stick. Every day she goes to the Sunday school class, she had a stick in her hand. They call that stick little driver. If you don't behave, little driver will drive you to behave. Sit down, you know. Drive you to your pew. You know, it's amazing. And so she took those kids, and 6 months later, they're all sitting straight. They're all smiling. They stood in front of the church, and they sang songs after songs. Like, this is what my kids did. And they quoted scriptures after scriptures. And then they are coming to make public profession of their faith. I was shocked. Revival meeting, I gave invitation for people to accept Christ. Many of these little kids raised their hands. I ignored them. You don't know what you're doing. I don't even count them. After the service, they said, Pastor, I raised my hand, but you didn't call me. I said, shut up. You don't know what you're doing. And they came back again. And I said, I'm ready to get saved. I understand. I said, you do? Yeah. Well, would you explain to me how somebody gets saved? And they tell me. What happened? They're preaching and they're teaching of the word of God. Folks, we don't have piano.
We don't have air conditioning. We don't have a nice car. In fact, I don't even own a building in the Dominican Republic. I don't even own a piece of land. And watch what the Word of God does to the people. It built their lives. Don't tell me preaching and teaching don't build. What else would build it? It is the work that God sent us to do. It is the work of preaching, the work of teaching. And as we obey, as we are teaching and preaching, and then watch what happens. God will open the door of faith. I'm not the one who opened it. You're not the one who opened it. No man can, if you would, pump their heads and say, look what I did. It is God who does it. Why? Because I obey, I preach, and I teach, and watch what happens, and God will bring the increase. So may I challenge you as a church, as I'm on the mission field, doing the work, man, please do the work here too. Don't pay me to go overseas to do something that you're not doing at home. You call that hypocrite? Well, come on. I know I'm not in Haiti, but I know how to preach now. Don't pay me to go to Haiti and the Dominican Republic to do something that you're not doing. It should be, you say, man, I love this young man. I love what he's doing because we're doing the same work. He believes in what we believe. He practices what we practice. Hey, brother, here's some money. Go out there and do what we're doing here. Don't make me a hypocrite. You know what a hypocrite is? I'm on the mission field. I'm not doing what you're doing here because I want your money. I come here. Mr. Nepshire, good to meet you. I'm a fundamental believer, like you are. Give me the money. And I'm not. Well, switch it around. Switch it. Don't make me go there and do what you're not doing here. Now, when I come home, I want you to love preaching.
Love it. Let me have it, preacher. Let me have it. Give it to me.
Love the book, love the teaching. And when you hear these dead heads talking about junks out there, ignore them. We stand in the book. We believe the Bible. We believe in the teaching, the preaching, the word of God. It is what changes the hearts of men. And I challenge you tonight, stick with the old style, teaching and preaching. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for giving us the opportunity to open the book, the Bible, your word, that changes my life, my wife's, my children. And Lord, that I have seen change the lives of our people in the Dominican Republic and also in Haiti. And Lord, I do not know of any other thing that has the power to change us. Hearts beside your word. And we ask tonight you would help us, Lord, to stick with the old teaching and preaching, to stick with the work that, Lord, you put us here on the earth to do. Lord, help us to ignore, dismiss, despise people who come up with foolish methods and ideas. Help them, Lord, not to grasp on our mind, to lead us astray, to make us get away from what you have given to us. But, Lord, help us to believe you're the one who will give the result. You're the one who will give the increase. You're the one, Lord, who will bring the harvest as we obey you. Heads bowed and eyes are closed tonight.